It's almost 12 noon. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And on the show today, Helen Todd, who is General Director of Sugar Creek Symphony and Song in Watseka, Illinois, presenting an operatic double bill in a couple of weeks. She'll be on the second portion of the show. My first guests are involved in a summer strings program in Charleston. Elaine Fine, violinist and violist, and Nina Marshall, who is a harpist, among the organizers of that event. We'll hear from them and about the program coming up in just a few minutes here on Live and Local. Final movement of a sonata concertante for violin and harp by Louis Spohr. He wrote several such pieces. And Sophie Langdon, the violinist, Hugh Webb, the harpist, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I picked that piece because our guests are respectively violist and violinist Elaine Fine and harpist Nina Marshall, who are among the three organizers of a summer strings program in Charleston, along with Terry Colton, all of them doing teaching in their respective areas. And Lane, you're in Charleston, Terry's in Charleston, Nina, you're in Bethany.
Yes.
And I had to ask where that was, but others listening may well know. Elaine, since you're the one that contacted me about this event, why don't you give us an overview of the Summer Strings program?
Well, Summer Strings is now in its fifth year, and we started as a kind of ad hoc summer get-together for string players. Originally, we decided that we would have no practicing, have it be only sight reading, take off all the pressures of normal orchestral life, normal performing life, and we would just let students, grown-ups, anybody come and play together in the summer once a week, play together for 2 hours, leave, come back the next week, play together. And it was a lot of fun, but eventually the students that were playing wanted to have a chance to practice the music. So I got the sort of easy idea that I would just make arrangements and distribute them to the students. And
you mean make arrangements of other
pieces. So we didn't have to rely on anyone's library on, you know, forgetting to return music, or that's one of the big headaches of orchestral life, as you know. It's getting music back to the library. So we got rid of the idea of the library, and now our library is on PDF files that we can distribute, Xerox, do whatever we want to do it. And so about, I think it was two, this is our fifth year. Our fourth year, we decided that we would play a concert at the end of the summer, and the Charleston Rec Department sponsored a concert at the Kiwanis Bandshell, a free concert. And then we decided to do it again this year, and we'll continue to do this. But the idea of the program is that anybody who wants to play can, regardless of level, regardless of experience. We are a very egalitarian group. Terry and I do a lot of the leading, because many of the people who participate are kind of shy and don't really want to take leadership roles, but anyone is welcome to take a leadership role. We have comments from within the orchestra, and some of the string players, the more advanced string players, really do want to take leadership roles. So we have 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds making excellent musical suggestions. And since we play without a conductor, there's no central focus, except our concert mistress, and whoever sits in the concert master or concert mistress seat has a great deal of responsibility. And we've been very lucky to have people willing to shoulder that responsibility.
So you said that it's open to anyone of any age. What ages do you actually end up drawing?
Would you say our youngest are
six?
Six. Mm-hmm. We've gotten some five-year-olds. They get frustrated, though. It's a long time for a five-year-old to play, you know, an hour and a half. Our oldest ones, I guess your students?
Yeah, they would be adults.
Yeah, adults.
The harp students.
Also a violin. Nina also teaches violin.
Also violin.
Students. She holds the violinists together in Bethany.
I thought you were going to say she holds the violin and plays the harp at the same time. That's what I thought was going to come out of your mouth.
Sometimes she does.
Play with my toes.
Yeah. But when we started the program, we started with adult beginners. We started it as a chance for adult beginners to come and play. And that's always, adults who have just started are always welcome. And as a matter of fact, Christine, who's the manager of the Prairie Ensemble, has
Christine
been playing.
Christine Klindworth, and yeah.
Yeah, she's been playing. And her daughter is a fairly advanced violinist. And she's a fairly beginner violist. And the two of them can play together in an ensemble without any pressure. There's no... If you don't get the right notes, it really doesn't matter. Somebody else will get them for you.
I was going to make a comment about general string playing, but we'll leave that alone.
They have to learn somewhere.
They have to learn somewhere. That's right. So you do have still have adults in the ensemble this year.
Oh yeah.
About how many are involved?
How many adults? How many people?
Well, many people altogether? Yeah.
You think about 40,
approximately.
It's a pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty big program. And is it just once a week?
Just
that's how
you
initially described it.
An hour and a half once a week, and we get from chaos to accomplishment in a very short period of time.
Like 2 months.
Yes.
Is that the length of the program?
That's the length of the program. We start in June, the first week of June, and the last week of July.
And so the concert is the culminating event?
Yeah, we have a picnic and then a concert. At the same night.
But I'm guessing the public is invited only to the concert.
If the public wants to come to the picnic, they can bring their own food. They can share.
When is the concert?
The concert is this Thursday at 7:30.
Tonight?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
This is the 30th, excuse me. It's the 30th at 7:30 in the Kiwanis Bandshell, which is in Kiwanis Park.
In Charleston.
And it's accessible from the two sides, the Division Street side of town for those who are out of town. If you enter into town anywhere, you find Division Street, you'll find an entrance to Kiwanis Park. And the other side is Harrison Street.
Well, I want to ask you in a little bit about some of where you draw people from for this event. But here's one of the pieces that's going to be on your concert, not the arrangement that you have made for, I think you said, five string parts.
Oh, I should talk about that, the arrangement situation. We have beginner parts. We have your regular first violin parts, second violin parts, cello part, viola part, and then we have a part which we call the violin 2B part for violinist 2B.
2B, I got it, yeah.
And for the most part, they're very simple. The rhythms are very simple. A lot of times we have some melodic material, which is important. So they're important parts, and there's magic in five voices. If you have more inner voices, you can get a much richer sound from a compositional standpoint. So it's very rewarding for the students to play. So we work out our violin 2B section is where I sit there and Terry sits there and we point to the music when people get lost. And it's a way for people who have only been playing for, let's say, a year or half a year to come and play in a big group and have the experience, musical experience.
Well, here is a performer who probably didn't need anybody to point at the music for him, and it's not five parts here. It's five parts, but in a different way, violin solo with piano playing this piece by a fellow named Fiocco. It's simply a piece called an allegro. Does it come? It must come from a larger work.
Nobody knows where it
Nobody
comes
knows.
From.
But it's in every beginning-ish violinist's studies book of some kind or another.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. And even you listening might recognize it. And this is music that will be on next Thursday's concert from the Summer Strings Program. And you're hearing it on Live and Local. This is Itzhak Perlman with pianist Samuel Sanders. Violinist Itzhak Perlman with pianist Samuel Sanders, the Fiocco Allegro, as violin students know it simply as that. Performance here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We're talking with Elaine Fine and Nina Marshall, who are co-directors of a triumvirate of people in working with a summer strings program in Charleston, a weekly event that culminates in a concert next Thursday evening, which you can hear, and we'll give you those details again in a little bit. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. And coming up in the later portion of the show, around 12:30, we'll have a conversation with Helen Todd, director of Sugar Creek Symphony and Song in Watseka, Illinois, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. How far, Elaine and Nina, how far from Charleston do you draw students into this program, or is it mostly from right around Charleston?
Well, we get students from, we have people from Champaign, we have people from Paris, we have people from Mattoon. We have Bethany, and what's that town next to Bethany?
Sullivan, Arthur.
Sullivan and Arthur, Arcola. I guess people drive. There's somebody who comes from near St. Louis, near East St. Louis, so they come far distance to get to us.
So it's a pretty good representation. How do you advertise the program?
Most of them are, we just advertise they're just our students. Terry has students from all over the place. I have students from Charleston, and Nina has students from Bethany
all
and Arthur. And it's just word of mouth. And we talk about it with people. I encourage people to come. I send email messages to various teachers in the in Champaign, and hopefully we'll get some more people from up here to come down.
In future years.
Yes, what we're really hoping for. There's a magic in five, but there's also magic in having a bass player, and I'm hoping that some nice bass player would want to come down and play with us. And
we're all hoping that, those of us who work with the youth orchestras looking for bass players.
We have bass parts.
So you have cellos?
We have cellists, and we have, we've had some really great cellists who have got their start in summer strings, people who have continued to become really something. We have a former Summer Strings alum from she's from Martinsville, and she's now studying at Yale as with Pariseau, and she got
Aldo Pariseau,
and she got her start in summer strings. And some of the people who have fed into your orchestra,
The East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra,
yes, have gotten their start in summer strings.
And we are looking for bass players, always. Nina, as a harpist and violinist, how did you get involved in this program?
Well, I work with Terry and Elaine a lot, and last year was my first year joining the summer strings with my students, and I would carpool them up because I'm about an hour away from Charleston myself. So to encourage my students to participate, I carpooled him up the first year, and that turned out really, really good. And this past year, my harp students were interested in doing orchestral stuff, and we didn't have really a way to get them used to playing with ensemble stuff unless I wanted to throw them right into the real deal. So I asked Elaine if she would mind if I wrote harp parts for my students, and then voila, we have harp parts.
And it makes a great contribution to the sound, especially since we do some music which is from Disney movies, some music from Cinderella and The Sound of Music, which gets really nicely enhanced by the harp.
Because it has that fairy tale sound to it? Is
exactly.
that the idea?
Exactly. And the people who are playing, just they love that. It gets them all expressive.
Nina, you said the harpists who are there are generally older or not necessarily?
Actually, no, I have adult harp students and I have the younger teenagers, and the younger teenagers are the ones that are more interested in the orchestral work, so they're the ones doing the summer string right now.
So if somebody comes to you and says, I want to play harp or I want my child to play harp, is there a minimum age that you suggest?
It depends. It's very individualistic, really. There are small harps, so you can get a child started fairly young if they have an appropriate sized instrument.
And how easily are those to come by?
If you know where to look, it's pretty easy.
As with so many other things, right?
Yeah, the initial finding it can be interesting if you don't have a teacher to help you.
Can you do like everything else? Just Google little harps and something comes up?
Yeah, you just have to be careful not to get one of the off brands that really aren't playable.
That would not help
right.
the youngest students or even the older students at
Precisely.
All.
Precisely.
Tell us again details on the concert next week so people can come. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Summer Strings program based in Charleston that draws from quite a wide area, about 40 students, string students of varying abilities involved. Elaine Fine is with us. Nina Terry Colton could not come up, but is also violinist and violist, and she also mm-hmm. play viola. And Nina Marshall, you all are these double-edged swords here, violin and harp, here to talk about that program. So, the concert.
The concert is next Thursday night at 7:30 in the Kiwanis Bandshell in Kiwanis Park in Charleston. It's free. And it's also, there are nice stone seating, which is not comfortable for everyone. So you can also bring lawn chairs or blankets. It's a really nice setting for a concert.
Is there a number for somebody to call or any kind of website if they want to get involved in this program next year or if they just want to get more details on this concert?
They can call me or they could email me, which is also very easy.
Okay.
It's elainefine@gmail.com.
And Elaine Fine, spelled just as you normally would expect.
Without the space in between. Yes.
@gmail.com.
Yes, that's a good way to get us.
And if they want to get involved next year, how do they do it?
They just send me an email. I'll send them music.
Okay.
Let me know which part they want to play. We do not have auditions. We don't. Anyone can sit wherever they want.
So you'll let them know when it's going to start?
And we tell them when it starts.
Send them music.
They don't have to come to every rehearsal. They can come to one rehearsal.
This sounds like, you know, the ideal thing for people who are either beginning or maybe a little bit lazy
it
over the summertime.
It is totally ideal. It's wonderful. Everybody has such a good time. I come back from rehearsals. It's no work, not the least bit. It's no work. It's just fun. And we do it for free. Being involved in the program is completely free. We all feel like it's such a great thing for our students. They learn skills that you just can't teach them in a lesson. You can't teach people how to play in ensembles in a half an hour lesson.
And it's hard to teach sight reading. I know you said you send in the music now, but still, it's some pretty quick reading they've got to do.
Yeah.
They still get their sight reading skills because we'll throw stuff at them every now and then.
Well, it sounds like a great way to spend some time in the summer if you want to keep your chops up or get your chops in order. And I was very refreshed when you said at the outset of this conversation that a part of the impetus of the current state of the program is that the students actually wanted to practice.
They do.
They I found that very encouraging.
They practice. they want. It's funny because my students, they work on the summer strings music for their lessons, and at our rehearsals, they usually say, "I have to practice this one." I think, "Wow, this is great. It's self-motivating." And then there's another lovely thing. Many young students are learning to do vibrato for the first time. It takes a while, and some of them won't. They just won't vibrate if they're not told to. And then they sit in this group with people vibrating, and so then they start doing it because they realize it sounds good. And then in lessons, we have to tell people constantly about accidentals. They'll forget that it's an F sharp or an F natural. It's a constant thing. When they're in a big group, they're playing an F natural, everyone else is playing an F sharp. They move to an F sharp. They know to adjust.
So a little peer pressure goes a long way.
A lot, yes. And also, it's interesting because a lot of string players, we don't have a string program in Charleston, in the schools, or in Bethany, or in Sullivan, or in any of these towns. So all of the people who are string players are self-motivated. They've chosen to be string players because they want to be string players. They're not doing it because it's a class they take. They're not doing it because they feel they have to pick an instrument in their school. So we make the best of the situation, and we offer them this chance to play and chance to socialize with one another, because it is important to find people like themselves. And I've had students come in from, they had no idea that there were other people who played strings. And they walk in and they look around and they say, "Wow,
I'm not
so
alone.
Many people." And young people and older teenagers, and then they get excited. They're impressed by their peers. And it's a very good thing.
Sounds like a great program. Thanks for starting it. And thanks to both of you for coming up today, Elaine Fine of Charleston and Nina Marshall of Bethany, the Summer Strings Program based in Charleston, and the concert next Thursday at
7:30.
One more time, the place.
The Kiwanis Bandshell in Kiwanis Park. Totally free concert. And if you're a bass player, or if you're a string player at all, if you are thinking about being a string player, you are welcome to join us for our next year Summer Strings program.
Great. Thank you very much for coming on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. We'll have a little operatic conversation coming up shortly regarding the Sugar Creek Symphony and Song Festival in Watseka, Illinois. Music from Edward Elgar's Serenade for Strings. That's the opening movement in a performance by the strings of the Bournemouth Sinfonietta, conducted by George Hurst here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
The recession affecting your community. Thursday night at 7, WILL and its community partners are hosting public conversations about the economy in Danville and in Rantoul. For location information, visit willconnect.org/economy or call 217-333-7300. Thank you.
Coming up on the 8th and 9th of August in Watseka, Illinois, is the 7th Annual Symphony and Song Festival, which this year includes actually two operas, one performance each of two operas. One is a full production of Leoncavallo's Pagliacci with an international cast. And then the Young Artist Program presenting Copeland's The Tender Land. The first of those is on the 8th on Saturday. The second is on the 9th on Sunday. Helen Todd is general director and artistic director of Sugar Creek Symphony and Song, and I had a chance to talk with her yesterday by telephone from Watsika about the program. And I started out by asking, since she is a native of Watsika, Illinois, what brought her back to Watsika to help to found this festival?
Well, it starts out kind of sad because I was in New York City singing at New York City Opera at Lincoln Center, and my friend John Whitman and I grew up together and we went to high school together, and he was also living in New York, and the season that I was there was 2001, and I was in New York when September 11th happened, and it really just shook myself and, of course, the whole country to the core of what's truly important. And John and I got through that experience together, and we were both away from our family that was back in Illinois and Ohio. And we decided that we wanted to do something for our hometown community because we felt like that it was starting to sort of wane a little bit because they had lost a lot of jobs in the area. They lost about 500 jobs. And so we wanted to help bring economic revitalization to the community, bring a cultural event, and it was sort of our gift back to our hometown. So it started, the impetus of it was actually kind of sad, but now we're in year 7, and so it's a very joyous, you know, a joyous event every summer.
And he is involved in this project as well?
Yes, he serves on our board. He was also the executive director for 5 years, and he's still on our board. He's not as involved as he was at the beginning because his own career has taken a different direction. And so now I was the artistic director for those 5 years, and now I'm the general director, so I oversee everything.
And how much is that a year-round duty for you, and how much is it sort of localized in time?
Well, because I'm an opera singer and I know what level, we want this level to be an international level, which it has been from the very beginning. And it's a year-long project for me. It takes an entire year to plan it. I do have a group of volunteers that assist me, but for the most part, I direct all of their activities and tell them what we need to do. And then in the summer, we have seasonal staff that start in May that assist us through the festival.
And, of course, it's sort of amazing to consider that a year's worth of work results in one weekend's worth of performances.
It is. I mean, the Young Artist Program, which is in year 3, has taken it on its own kind of performance this year with the Tenderland that's happening, and they're here for 3 weeks. So, yes, the final product is 2 days, but the music making that's happening in Watsika actually lasts for 3 weeks. So for me, in my mind, it's easier for me to think, okay, it lasts for 3 weeks, not 2 days.
Well, tell me about the Young Artist Program.
It's in year 3, and this year, for the first time, they're doing their own opera production called The Tenderland. And there are 3 or 4 young artists from the Champaign-Urbana area. And we did auditions throughout in like 2 or 3 different places in the country in the past year and heard auditions, and we picked 21 young artists to come. And they're all either master's degree holders or bachelor degree holders in voice performance at different universities throughout the country. They're between the ages of 19 and 30, and they're about to embark on their professional singing career, and they come here for additional training. It's more like a jumping off point into a career, because just leaving school doesn't give them that opportunity, because they need the professional connections. They need to know what's the professional standard, because it's only 3 weeks, and actually that is about right at a professional company. When you go in to perform a role, you get 3 to 4 weeks, and then it's finished. And so we try to train them to be ready for that kind of accelerated rehearsal period.
And why did you pick Copeland's The Tender Land for this year?
Well, I chose that for the young artists because I felt like it was the most accessible to them personally, and also the story, because it's a rural story, I felt like that was also accessible to my local audience in the Iroquois County area. And then also we chose, you know, stuff that would be a nice bookend to Pagliacci, which is the main stage production with the seasoned professionals.
Who do they get to work with, those who are in the Young Artist Program?
They get to work with the stage director, Scott Perry, who has worked at New York City Opera, Opera Pacific, Dallas Opera, Florida Grand Opera. And then the main coach is Bruce Stasna, who was on staff at Minnesota Opera for 4 years, and now he is at Palm Beach Opera. And they're going to have a master class with the lead tenor, Tonio DiPaolo, who is singing the role of Canio in Pagliacci, which is the main stage production. They'll also get a master class with myself. And so they get some individual coaching time and master classes, and they get to work with an accompanist during the three-week period. And they also have a master class with the conductor, James Lowe.
Again, the conductor of Pagliacci. Is he also conducting the Copeland then, I assume?
No, actually, Bruce Stasna is going to be conducting that, and that is just with piano. So the main stage production of Pagliacci is with full orchestra, which probably half of our orchestra is from Champaign-Urbana.
Hmm.
And then the Tenderland is just with piano, and Bruce Stasna is in charge of musical preparation for that and conducting that. And so those happen on Saturday night for Pagliacci, August 8th, and then the Tenderland Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock on August 9th.
Some music from Aaron Copland's opera, The Tender Land, The Promise of Living, that portion which will be included, of course, in the complete performance of The Tender Land done by the young artists of the Sugar Creek Symphony and Song Festival on the 9th of August. This is Live and Local, and we're having a conversation with the general and artistic director of the Sugar Creek Festival, Helen Todd. So tell me about Pagliacci as a story.
Well, it's really, it's very, very dramatic and dark and scary. There's these traveling troupe of actors that come into town, and they're just, they go from town to town doing these performances. And Nedda is married to Canio, and I'm actually singing Nedda, and Tonio DiPaolo is singing Canio. And Canio is extremely jealous. He always assumes that she's cheating on him, which she actually is, but he's, like, insanely jealous, and he's prone to violence. And so during their performance that evening, everything goes wrong, and he actually realizes that she really is having an affair with a local man in the community, and that character's name is Silvio. And so violence erupts, and some people die, and if you've ever been to opera, then you assume probably the soprano's going to get it, and probably her boyfriend, and it's going to be a very dark show, and the director is actually setting the performance in the 1970s, and I think that's a really great idea because it kind of goes with this traveling troupe idea. It's really authentic idea to do it that way.
So one could actually imagine, I suppose, if one is in Watseka, that this is could just as well be taking place right there.
Yes, he's actually going to place it right in Watsika. And a little secret for your listeners, the director, he was trying to talk me into having real policemen come in and storm the auditorium and put yellow tape around the audience and say, everybody just don't move because you're going to be questioned on this murder. And I said, I don't think my local audience would be, I think that might scare them too much. So he's not going to do that, but it was a very interesting idea. But I think he's a very imaginative director. And to have Tonio DiPaolo here to sing that part, he's sung it all over the world. So we are so fortunate to have him. He's got such glorious high notes. Being a soprano myself, like, I'm always listening to somebody's high notes. But he's just fantastic, and he's very exciting on stage. So the way that our audience is seated, they're within 4 feet of these singers. The director is having it in the round so that the audience will be on three sides. And the first row will actually be within 4 feet of the singers.
That sounds like a very intimate experience for everybody.
Yeah, it's only about 800 seats.
So if people want their tickets, not a bad idea to get them earlier than you might otherwise do. Do these things generally sell out from year to year?
Well, this year, because of the economy, we scale back on our number of performances, and we're only doing one performance of Pagliacci. So I think that it's going to sell out because of that. In the past, we've done two performances on Friday and Sunday, but we decided to play it on the safe side and just do one performance of Pagliacci. So they should get their tickets early. They can call the box office at 815-432-3830. And they can reserve their tickets, and their tickets can be mailed to them if they're calling from Champaign so that they don't have to, you know, drive to Watsika to pick them up.
Well, we mentioned Champaign, but, of course, listeners in anywhere that are hearing us are welcome to attend this production.
Yes, of course.
In the Sugar Creek Symphony and Song Festival in Watsika. And when, if I'm remembering right, when you first got started, the name Sugar Creek Symphony, actually, you had a separate orchestra concert, didn't you?
Yes, we did. You know, every year it's a little bit different. One year we had a Serenade for Strings concert and a violin recital. And then the next year we had two recitals. And then the next year, you know, we had a symphony concert. So every year it's a little bit different. And it's all this magical formula of how much everything costs, because doing an orchestra concert is usually between $18,000 and $20,000. And an opera production is $100,000. So our main focus is doing the opera, and so we just kind of see where we are financially and then decide what can we afford to do each year.
And you are also pairing these two operatic performances with the Cherry Street Art Fest. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, that happens on Saturday, so it's a really good destination for people to come out on Saturday, August 8th. They go to the Cherry Street Art Fest. They see all the artisans. They maybe hear some live music. We have a live guitarist there this year. There's a historical monologues that talk about local figures from the area, and they're actually actors perform those old characters. And it's on the lawn of the old courthouse on Cherry Street. It's a beautiful 1880s building, and it's a museum inside, so people can go inside and look about the history of Iroquois County. And then in the evening, they can go to Pagliacci at 8 o'clock, and then they can stay in a local hotel and get up the next day and go see Tenderland at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
So there's quite a number of things, elements to this art fest, an art fair. There is a taste, I guess, of various foods from the area. Guitarist whose name we, neither of us is sure how to pronounce. It could be Greg Herregas or something, and our apologies if anybody who knows him is listening. It's H-E-R-R-I-G-E-S. He's performing periodically on the Old Courthouse Museum lawn. The twice-treasured antique sale, and you mentioned the historical legends event sort of being acted out throughout the day. Sounds like a lot of fun with that.
Yes, and there's also a barbershop group that's going to be performing in the afternoon, and it's called the Iroquois Valley Harmonizers. They're an award-winning group that's from the area, and they're really wonderful. And Greg is actually our professional guitarist, and he's bringing his partner, I think they're playing drums, with him, and he'll play from 9 a.m. to 1, and then the barbershop starts 1:30 to 3:30.
That sounds like a nice mix of events.
It's just a lovely day, and the weather this summer has been so mild. I really think that it's going to be a wonderful weekend because I'm not seeing in the forecast any hot days in the next 3 weeks.
Of course, crossing your fingers that it stays that way between now and the actual event on August the 8th and the Tenderland on August the 9th. I'm looking at your bio, just to switch gears here slightly, and I like the very opening line that's on your biography on your website. Soprano Helen Todd is known for her intense portrayals of tragic characters. How are you typecast in that way?
Well, I either play somebody who's going to die or somebody who's going to go crazy.
Is that in your contract that you have that's the sort of person you have to play?
No, I am typecast in that. Like, it's really hard for me to get, like, sweet, quiet, timid. Like, I never get cast in that. It might have to be with the size of my voice, or it could be just I have really intense eyes, you know, on stage, and I'm not really sure. I think I watched too many old movies when I was a kid, so, you know, like I'm channeling Sunset Boulevard with a Gloria Swanson a little too much, so I must be getting typecast in those crazy people. Because on my website, there's like three pictures of Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale, which I performed at Minnesota Opera and Canadian Opera Company in Toronto, and they all look crazy. So maybe I should put some more timid pictures on my website.
And how would you say these characters that you play on stage reflect Helen Todd, the person, off stage?
Well, I'm really intense. I don't think I'm tragic, but I'm really intense. When I decide to do something, I really follow through to the last possible minute, and that's what Sugar Creek Symphony and Song means to me, that it's so much work, but it's so, so important to me artistically and for me to do this for my hometown community, because I don't live here year-round. I live in Cleveland, Ohio with my family, but I'm really intense about it. I think it's really, really important to have opera and classical music in the rural communities and have it accessible to local people. Because when I grew up here, I had never heard a symphony. And when I went to college to be a voice major, the first time I heard an opera was when I was in college. And I think that's really sad, because I think I missed out on so much culture because my family could not afford to take me to see shows and Broadway shows and operas and symphonies. And so for me to bring this even for one day back to my hometown is really important.
So tell me a bit about your career outside of your work with Symphony and Song.
Well, it's a really fantastic career. I've slowed down a little bit in the last couple years because I had two kids close together. I was really fortunate to be able to be part of the Canadian premiere of The Handmaid's Tale at Canadian Opera Company in Toronto.
And that's based on Margaret Atwood's novel.
Yes. And I got to work with a fantastic director there, Phyllida Lloyd, and she is actually this just amazing director, and she is the director of Mamma Mia's original production on Broadway and in London. And then the production of The Handmaid's Tale that was in Minnesota, I got to work with Aaron Simonson, who won an Oscar for his documentary work. So I've been fortunate to work with incredible people, and like, I was watching the Tonys, and I saw Phyllida there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Phyllida's there? She's been nominated for a Tony? It's like, I know her. That's just, like, insane. And then I was also fortunate, you know, to be at New York City Opera and be able to perform at Lincoln Center. And so I've had lots of several roles, you know, Lucia and Fiordaligi and Così fan tutte, and, of course, Queen of the Night and Magic Flute several times. And so I've been really fortunate to be able to go basically from university to one apprentice program and then to start performing professionally. So I feel really fortunate because now I can use those contacts for Sugar Creek Symphony and Song and bring the best of the best to perform for my company.
So tell me a little bit about the other folks who are performing in Pagliacci. You mentioned Antonio Di Paolo and the role of Canio. I don't know the opera, so is the character of Tonio, is that a non-tenor?
Well, Canio, these are two names that are easy to get them mixed up. Canio is the tenor, and his name is, the star of that is Tonio Di Paolo. And then there's a role of Tonio that is played by Michael Mays.
And he is a?
And he's kind of a hunchback. He's a little bit deformed and mentally deficient, and he follows the troupe around, and Canio's taken him under his wing, and he sort of instigates the fight that happens between Canio and Nedda, his wife. And Michael Mays, he has performed in St. Louis, and he's kind of an up-and-coming singer. We actually, our original Tonio was Carlos Archuleta, and he had to back out of the production. So Michael came in to fill that spot most recently in May.
And he is a baritone?
A baritone. Yes.
I sort of asked the question because you have Tonio playing Canio. And
right.
It would seem that Tonio should play Tonio, except he doesn't have to have the right voice.
Yeah, right.
And the other characters, Silvio Christopher Hutton, Beppe is William Bennett. He's somebody I've heard of.
Yes.
Tell me about those guys.
William Bennett, he is from the Chicago area. He's performed with the Chicago Opera Theater and also some outreach work for Lyric Opera of Chicago. And he is a tenor, and he's singing the role of Beppe. And then Christopher Hutton, he's performed with Boston Lyric Opera, Opera Theater of St. Louis. And he is singing the role of Silvio, and he's a baritone. He's been at Sugar Creek about two or three times before. And it's a really small cast, so that kind of helps to keep the intimacy of the story because there's only these, you know, five characters.
And you are the lone female.
Yeah, I'm the lone female.
And
so
how does that play out on stage?
Well, see, I picked this opera because I thought Canio was the star, and then the director told me, no, you've got it all wrong. Nedda is the star. The whole story revolves around you. And I'm like, that's not true. It's of Canio. He sings that big tenor aria that goes, Ridi Pagliaccio. You know, like, that's a big song. It's in every commercial.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, the whole thing revolves around you. Everybody wants to be with you.
Oh, good. So it just inflates your diva-ness, right? Your diva-hood.
Yeah, I guess. I was hoping that I would have less rehearsal time since I thought it was about Canio. So obviously I was mistaken about that.
Well, there you go. So you get to put the whole event together and then be the star at the same time.
Yes, if I live to see the moment.
I'm sure you will. We're talking with Helen Todd, who is General and Artistic Director of Sugar Creek Symphony and Song, which is taking place on Saturday, primarily, August the 8th, and a performance of Copland's The Tender Land with the young artists performers on Sunday, August 9th. The main stage performance is Leon Cavallo's Pagliacci and lots of other events for the Cherry Street Art Fest. It all happens in Watseka, Illinois, on the 8th and 9th of August. And if you're interested in tickets, you can phone 815-432-3830. You can also email tickets@sugarcreekfestival.org. And if you'd like to see all of the details, that is the web address, sugarcreekfestival.org. Helen, thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local today.
Thanks so much. Oh.
Oh,